See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
That's how we get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Rattle. Little pig, let's come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is
Welcome to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
Joe's momentarily forgotten how this whole thing
goes. I have no, I'm not even sure where I'm at. Right? I can't believe I'm still doing this.
He's in a fog right now.
Yeah. And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Biscotti.
Hey, everybody. How's everything going?
Great. And great. Catherine.
Thanks for answering, Joe.
Catherine, hey, Catherine. Horan.
Hello, oh, my everybody. God.
So this is what it's like when we're all back together. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what it's like.
Sorry. Mark had asked me a question and I was dazed looking at the trailer of one of the movies we're going to review. And I was like caught up in the moment. I had no idea we started recording, but anyway, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. It had a little countdown thing and everything.
Wasn't looking.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we are another week. We are now in February. If you weren't aware of that, Joe, and it is actually February 2nd, and it's Groundhog's Day.
Groundhog Day.
So, and apparently,
you suckers get six more weeks of winter.
Yeah, six more weeks of winter.
How does that work?
That groundhog.
Well, how does the Groundhog Day thing work?
Given
I never
that
really pay attention.
Spring doesn't start for like 6 weeks. I mean, you kind of have 6 weeks of winter no matter what.
But the groundhog, if the groundhog sees its shadow, what does that mean?
That means six more weeks of winter.
And then if it doesn't see its shadow?
Then it'll be spring the next day.
Spring the next day?
An early spring. Yeah.
Early spring.
Yeah. So.
Well, the groundhog didn't see its shadow.
He did see his shadow. He did this morning. Yeah, it was
so
sunny.
We're going to have six more weeks of winter.
Well, how do you know if the groundhog sees the shadow?
Because it's sunny out.
Is it? It's right there.
Yeah.
There it is. And they're like, oh, okay, well, he saw it.
So, what's his name? What's the original? Puxcatawny Phil or something?
Film. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Phil. Yeah. Yeah. So, as fascinating as all that is, what people really want to know, Joe, is what you've been watching recently while you've been in your stupor. I have a feeling you've watched quite a bit of stuff in your stupor of sickness. I know you were sick when Mark and I recorded last time, right? Yeah. And how much longer were you sick after that?
3 more days.
Oh, okay.
So I guess you were fine. You could have done the show. You just didn't want to do it.
That was day
coughing.
Two. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you were coughing.
And then the night that we recorded, I didn't even go back to work the next day after that. But I didn't watch anything good. I watched comfort films to make me feel better, like PCU and Tommy Boy and that thing you do and. You know, comedy gold.
That thing
like
you
that,
do? But... You like that film?
Oh, I love that film.
Oh,
yeah, that's one of Joe's favorites.
Yeah.
Oh, that song is so ridiculously earworthy.
You know, they only play it once through it for its entirety throughout the entire film.
That can't be true.
Yeah, they play it once all the way through. They play it several other times, but they never get through the whole song.
Yeah. Ugh. They played it over and over, though.
Yeah.
I still like that song. But speaking of last episode that I wasn't on, there was a mistake. So
what?
The morning that I called you and said, or texted you, Matt, and said, I'm not going to be able to do the show.
Yeah.
You said, go ahead and hurry up and write your reviews on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
So that was a mistake for Tokyo Gore Police. It's now been fixed. It was supposed to be 3.5 stars, 4.5 stars.
It's too late, man.
I mean, we chalked it up to COVID. You know, COVID. Joe was like, "This is the greatest movie I've ever seen."
It was a fever dream. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it's still
Daniel Day-Lewis was in it.
And... Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I really enjoyed that film, but not 4.5 cuts.
Four and a half cuts. That was that crazy take. Rated.
Okay.
What else? Oh, before I forget, I also want to thank Rich Sweet for buying a CineScare hoodie, CineScare Productions hoodie, all the way up there in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's very nice. There, Rich.
Yeah, thank he's a Rich. Cheeseheaded, but we still love him.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, he's actually becoming more of a friend of the show than Brian. That's Petowski.
Who? Why are you throwing Brian under the?
I'm not throwing Brian underneath the bus. I'm just saying that I don't know. Rich Sweet, you know, he's kind of a more Brian, of a friend than Brian. Like, Brian, the hell with Brian? Throw him to the curbside.
Brian is our scorekeeper, and that's not an easy task.
I don't know. I say we just like throw Brian to the curb and ask Rich to keep count next time.
Never. Not after we.
That's Brian's job. Quit playing head games with Brian.
I'm not playing head game. Well, there's a lot of head game playing in the next three films that we're going to review, though. Oh, Joey, we're not there yet. Sorry, I'm excited.
I watched. I haven't watched much. Not much worth talking about. But I did see on Netflix. This isn't horror, but it was thriller. It was a series called His and Hers. With John Bernthal. It is a whodunit. It is a thriller. And just when they put it on a silver platter and say, yep, there's who did it, you're not done. That's not who did it. And it happened so many times throughout this thing. It was worth a watch. It was, I want to say, 4 episodes are all about an hour long. It was great. I really am glad that I watched that one. And lastly, the only other thing to talk about, I hate to say it, but I lost a bet. So instead of going to see Send Help, I took my wife to go see The Housemaid.
The what?
With The Housemaid with Sydney Sweeney. I gotta admit, not too bad. A lot of stuff to see up on that screen too. But no, the storyline was really good. She's very pretty.
She's really pretty.
And Amanda Seyfried was in it too.
Oh, and she's hot.
Yeah, they both did tremendous. The storyline was good. And it's another one of those, just when you think you know who did it, I sit back down. Movie's not over yet. We're not rolling credits just now. So
is it a horror movie?
No. Well, it's kind of along the lines of...
erotic thriller?
Possibly. You know, Hand That Rocks the Cradle is what I'm thinking of. You know, something like that. Something with Rebecca De Mornay in it.
Oh, okay.
But no, it was good. It was worth a watch. I'm glad I saw it. And I'll see Send Help some other day. So
nice.
That's about it. I've been actually reading The Daylights out of Stephen King's Under the Dome, which is 1,075 pages. I'm on page 900. Now,
what
I did mostly when I was sick. You know what? I swear to God, the next Stephen King movie or book that I read better be horror, because I'm tired of all these like sleuthy whodunits or the supernatural aspect of things. Mr. Mercedes. I read all of those. Those are all like detective novels,
right?
And I'm tired of it. I want to see something that's gonna like at least give me the heebie-jeebies. That's what I want to read. Shining is probably what I'm going to read next, but I got to go through and look and see what else I have to choose from. So,
wait, you've never read The Shining?
I've never read The Shining.
Oh, it's great. Yeah.
Holy shit, Joey.
I was always afraid I was going to be grossly disappointed.
What would you say, Kathy?
Because
I said it's a lot shorter than Under the Dome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Most things are.
Yeah.
But, I love the movie so much, and all I've ever heard is that the book's not like that, and Stephen King likes his book better than the movie. And I'm like, but right. I like the movie. So I don't know. I'm apprehensive, but it'll get read. If not,
just
next,
watch the soon. TV movie and you've read
oh
the book.
Oh my God, I can't stand that.
Yeah. No,
that's all you got to do.
No, the book's really good too. They're both great. I think, you know, one of the problems he has is that Jack is crazy from the beginning of the movie. And he doesn't think that Jack is in the book, but he is. He's pretty. He's got his inner monologue is violent and nasty. So I'm not quite sure what he's thinking there. But Jack is he makes it sound like Jack is a guy who's struggled with alcoholism, but he's got getting his life back together, and then he becomes this evil person, but. Throughout the whole beginning, I mean, we could talk about it once you've read it, but he does a bunch of things that, you know, he's, I don't see it.
Well, from someone who's never read the book, I look at the movie and I think Jack is fine at the beginning of the film. And he doesn't start to snap until he actually gets there.
But well, like when they're driving on the way to the thing and he's like, "See, honey? You know, he saw it on the television." You know, he's a little crazy yeah, in mean, the car his, on the way there.
It's like the closer he gets there, the more mad yeah. he becomes. But yeah. I don't know. I guess I never really considered him to be psychotic at the first few frames of the film, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to love it.
Yeah. You'll like the book. It's good. It's good.
Okay. Well, I got to finish this one first, but yeah. We'll
yeah.
see.
Yeah. Mark, what have you watched recently?
Well, I believe Catherine and I, we both saw Send Help. Matt, did you see Send Help?
No.
Yeah, so Catherine, you want to start or you want me to start?
I loved it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Catherine's going to start.
Catherine's going to start. Go ahead. Go ahead, Catherine.
No, it was great. Like, I went in not knowing anything besides what I saw in the one preview for it. So I knew it was, you know, two people stranded on a deserted island. That's about it. It was great. You don't get a lot of horror stuff really until kind of the end. But no, it was great. I don't want to say too much because I want it to, you know, be a surprise for people that do see it. But I had a lot of fun. I was so glad we saw it.
Yeah, I saw it last night, and I thought it was a fun time. I wouldn't say that this was Sam Raimi's like best outing by any means, but I enjoyed it very much. There was some like plot points in the film that were obviously that was introduced early in on the film that were proven correct at the end, and you know, like you could see it coming. You knew what was going to happen. I was expecting something a little bit bigger at the ending, and it wasn't, which was a nice twist. The last like 20 minutes of the film, like Catherine said, was an absolute blast. I mean, I was laughing out loud, and like it was like Sam Raimi's tropes of in like how he like has the camera move into the face, and there's a lot of fun Sam Raimi's direction and how he like films a movie. It's really cool. I give it 3 cuts out of 5. I had a great time. I think I would wait until streaming. And also like walking out of the movie theater, I walked past Bone Temple. I could hear like, you know, things going on in the theater. I was like, I kind of wish I watched Bone Temple. Cause that movie has absolutely bombed in the box office. And I'm getting worried that we're not going to get our third, 28 year later. It completely bombed. So I'm nervous. I'm nervous that it's not going to happen. Cause I hear it's like the ending really, tells like they're going to like really wrap it up in a bow, and I need to like support this film. So, but no, I think, Send Help is a lot of fun. Last 20 minutes is a blast. And Rachel McAdams, she's wonderful in it. Oh my gosh. And, I will say that, she's a big Survivor fan, and I'm a huge, Survivor fan. So I'm just like clapping. And by the way, Shannon and I, my girlfriend, we were the only ones in the theater. So I was having a great, I was like clapping like, yes, Survivor. And there's a lot of fun Survivor things in there. So yeah, it's a good time. I would wait till streaming.
The audience we had in the theater with us, they were laughing at everything. There was even, Mark, there's the one part where, speaking of zooming in on the face, zooming in on the man's face as certain things are going on.
Yeah.
There were people yelling in the audience, like, go for it, do it.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Hey, I got to ask, Danny Elfman did the soundtrack. How was the music?
Oh, did he?
He did. It wasn't very, I didn't think it was too Danny Elfman-ish. Like, you really wouldn't know.
I didn't even notice.
I don't think.
Okay.
I didn't even notice Danny Elfman did it. Wow. I didn't,
good to know.
I didn't hear any Danny Elfman in that. Huh.
Interesting. You didn't hear, you just didn't, it didn't
like
sound
hear
like
any of like the usual like Danny Elfman like sounds, you know? Just went over my head.
So it didn't sound like a Tim Burton film.
No, it did not sound like a Tim Burton film.
No, not at all.
Nope.
Is that it, Mark, for that you watched since the last time?
Yeah.
Okay. Catherine, anything else, or was that it for you too?
Just a couple other things I watched. I think it's on Shudder, a documentary called Chain Reactions, which is kind of a video.
I did watch that. Actually,
the Keanu Reeves film.
Time ago.
No.
Yeah, we got. No, they sent early it screening. To us. Yeah, an early screening. They sent a screener of that to us way back. Did you watch it when they sent it to us, Joe?
No.
Oh. I didn't watch it then, but I realized that we had missed it, and I probably watched it like a month ago.
Oh, okay.
It was really good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so it's just different people talking about their love of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I want to check that out.
Like Patton Oswalt and Stephen King and a few others that I don't recall right off.
Loved
hand.
Loved Patton Oswalt on that. Yeah.
He's always on. He, for some reason, he's always on these shows as a talking head. Right? I'm not sure why.
Yeah. So I watched that. It was enjoyable enough. And then I watched Chopping Mall. And I love that movie. That's just good, campy fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one.
That's a lot of fun. I watched.
What did you watch?
What was it? Oh, Dust Bunny, which I thought that was pretty good. I don't know if you guys have had a chance to check that one out. It's for rent now. I don't know if this is, I mean, it technically came out, I think, in 2025, but like limited release. So I'm not sure if it's considered a, you know, it's one of those that's considered a 2026 movie. But it stars Mads Mikkelsen and Sigourney Weaver, David Dasmalchian, and then some other people that I recognize, but I'm not sure if. I'm not sure what they're, you know, I don't know that I knew them, but you've seen them in other things. But basically, it's almost like a horror, like if a horror version of The Professional, you know, you remember that movie in the, what was it, in the 90s maybe, that came out with Gary Oldman as the cop and that French guy as the
John Reno.
Yeah, he was in the first all the spy movies with Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Mission Impossible.
Mission Impossible. Dude, he was in the first one of those, and
the guy with the knife and driving a helicopter.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so it's he's not in that, but that was a long-winded way of saying that this is a kind of a horror version of that. This little girl has a monster under her bed, and she hires a hitman. She's been watching this neighbor, and she realizes he's a hitman, and so she hires him to kill the monster under her bed, is basically the premise. But there's also a lot of other stuff going on at the same time. This hitman is also tied in with, you know, obviously underworld figures, because he's a hitman. And so they catch wind of the fact that this little girl knows what he does and actually watched him do a hit at one point. And so they don't think that she should be around anymore because she knows too much. And so they get involved as well, but there's still this monster under the bed. It's really good. I thought it was a lot of fun. I gave it 3.5 cuts. We had a blast with it. So I think it's one of those that I was like, you know, there were a few things here and there that could have been better, but overall I thought it was really good. And the style of it was very, almost Tim Burton-esque, I guess, maybe, or like Amelie. I don't know. It's very unusual style. And I thought Mads Mikkelsen was great in it. He played a character, very different kind of character for him. So definitely worth checking out. It's called Dust Bunny. And it's directed by Brian Fuller, who directed the TV show Hannibal, if you ever watched that. He's really good. He's a great director. And Hannibal is just a fantastic show. So
it's a great show.
And that's it. Yeah, that's all I watched. The other thing I want to mention is that Dust Bunny, it's a little almost like a comedy horror in a way. It's certainly not a broad comedy, but they're kind of a dark comedy. So,
kind of like the title. It's a great title.
Yeah, Dust Bunny. It doesn't really give you much of an idea of what the movie is, though, I guess, you know. So I don't know, but I'm glad I checked it out. I'd only heard about it because of this other podcast that I was listening to, Colors of the Dark. They mentioned it. So without further ado, Joe Jans has three saucy films that he wants to talk about. So take it, Joe.
And if you guys are really good, when we're all done, I have an activity. It's not a game.
Ooh.
It's right out of the activity book when we're all done.
Excellent.
So anyway, this episode I picked everyone's favorite abduction horror. And I have three little gems for you. The first one is from 2009 called The Loved Ones, directed by Sean Byrne. The general plot of this is when Brent, who's a high school student, they're all Australian, by the way, he gets asked to prom, or what we would consider prom to be, by one of his classmates, Lola, and he turns her down. He has a legitimate reason because he already has a girlfriend, but she doesn't care. So when that happens, she ends up concocting this wild, violent plan for revenge, which seems way over the top, you know. There'll be other dances, but that's just me. So, Matt, why don't you tell us what you thought about it?
Yeah, this is the one I was referring to in our CineScare chat, saying that one of these movies is a real gem. This is by far my favorite of the three. Like head, shoulders, body, waist, way above the others. This was, I thought, a real... I had never heard of this. I'd never heard anything about it. And I thought it was fantastic. I thought that the main girl, I think her name is Robin McLeavy. She was fantastic in it. She has like this innocent quality to her, but yet that it's certainly not innocent. You know, she's got this mischievousness too that is like a great balance for her. Her and the relationship with her dad, if it really is her dad, is very bizarre. And the mom, which I don't think is really the mom, is also a very strange situation. All of these things are, you know, it's hard to really talk about because I do think this is a hidden gem that I think.
Oh, no.
Where'd Matt go? Oh, we lost Matt.
He's gone.
Until he comes back on, I forgot I was going to start off the episode asking if we were going to do spoilers or not. It's going to be difficult to talk about, but I kind of agree with Matt. These movies are not very well known, and there are twists to all of them. So
right.
I highly recommend you go see these, but yeah, we're going to skip on the...
We're going to go no spoiler, huh?
We're going to go no spoiler. It's going to kill me, but we're going
to
go
It's your picks, Joe. I disagree, but I will obey.
I will gladly talk about this off recording and get into any of it that you want to, but yeah, I think These are too good. I mean, like, I...
They are.
I've only seen one of these beforehand, and I don't... I know I wouldn't want the twist spoiled.
First off, let me just say that I think all of these films are gems that Joe picked. He is 3 for 3. I loved every single one of these films. This was the last film I saw. I think, in my opinion, that this is the gem. I'll go. It'll be a journey, like when we review the other films, why I thought each one of these films were gems when I first saw it. So this wasn't the first film. This is the third film that I saw, the last one. But I do think that this one is the best one out of the three. So the most distracting thing about this film is the lead actor, Brett, because he exactly looks like Timothy Oliphant. Do you not agree?
John Bon Jovi.
Yeah, I could see Timothy Oliphant wearing a wig.
I don't know. I don't see it.
You don't see it? I couldn't stop thinking of it. He looks like Timothy Oliphant, in my opinion. One of the greatest good-looking men in Hollywood industry, in my opinion. I think this my hall pass, exactly. Yeah. Please, Shannon, let me have sex with Timothy Oliphant. This was the most brutalist out of all three, the goriest and the funniest. And this was the film that I wanted the captors to really get what was coming to them. I really wanted to see them suffer for what they were doing. So we're not doing spoilers, but when our poor lead actor, Brent, was at the kitchen table, it had a lot of, it reminded me a lot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like at the dinner table. Yeah. I thought it was a little bit more gorier and whatnot. And the things that they did to our poor Brent was absolutely excruciating to watch. I got up and I was like, no, 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 no. And they were bringing down some hurt on this poor young man's body. And it was a hard watch. It was a hard watch. And I like the fact that we could spoil that he was a self-afflicting pain on himself, and just to get through the trauma that he experienced at the beginning of the film, and he refused to scream, and I think he was enjoying some of the pain, and it was like helping him kind of like meditate or self-help himself with all this pain he was going through. That's why he wasn't screaming as much as he was. So I thought that was a really fun factor out of it. I mean, the pain he was going through was insane. But I noticed with his screams, it was a weird kind of scream. Do you guys agree on that? It was like a high-pitched, like hissing, like scream.
I have an answer for this.
What? Go ahead.
They injected Drano into his throat.
It was Drano.
Yeah, like the very first thing when he's tied to the table, they put a needle into his neck after they had pulled it out of something to the likes of Drano. And it basically burnt up like acid his entire larynx. So he couldn't scream if he wanted to.
Well, wouldn't that kill him like automatically within minutes?
I guess it could depend on where it was injected. I mean, like if it was in the jugular and went into the bloodstream, I could see that. But this is kind of like down your throat. Yeah. And it might not be enough to make you sick, but it was enough to coat your throat with all that drain cleaner.
You're probably right. I just didn't think of that. I was wondering what that blue thing was, but then other stuff started happening with him. I forgot all about that. Yeah, and I just thought maybe.
I assumed they knew what they were doing and they did that to prevent him from screaming.
Holy shit. No, you got to be right. That makes total sense, Joe. But that makes it even better, I think, actually, because it was what a scream he was doing. It was horrifying.
I believe they did that to the mom too. You know, this isn't their first merry-go-round. You know,
right. And then, of course, you know, at the end, there was other huge twist, and they were screaming like that, too. Brilliant, Joe. Well, thanks for
yeah, that's why I'm here.
Helping me. That's why you're here. But yeah, like there was this great scenes, you know, the drill pit was amazing. And of course the poor cop shows up, and we all know what happens to the cops, don't we? And the ending was completely just satisfying and very funny. I thought it was a beautiful shot between a car and something happening, and it's my favorite one.
Spoilers, Mark. We're trying to avoid spoilers.
I'm not spoiling anything. I just said Jeez.
So Mark,
a certain someone dies. I won't say who.
Someone dies. But I said a body. I didn't even say if it was a man or a woman. Anyways, it's my favorite out of all of them. I think they're all gems, but I'll explain more why I thought all of them were gems.
Matt, you want to finish up your thought?
I don't even know where I was. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought that it, you know, it's kind of a torture porn movie. And I kind of feel like torture porn is the found footage of body horror. But you know, unlike Joe, I don't consider that an insult. It's easy to do and get reactions from people, but it's not easy to do well. And when it's done well, it's extremely effective. And in this case, this is an example of it being done very, very well. And there was more to it than just that. You know, there was there were other subplots and side stories that factored into it as well, that kind of grounded the film. So it wasn't just about this setting where it's just continuous misery. There were other things going on. What, Joe?
Sorry, Mark was staring like an inch away from the camera, looking like somebody knocked the wind out of him. And I'm like, what's the matter with Mark? Maybe we should stop.
I know, Mark's like,
what do you mean?
You were like, you just had this weird look on your face.
You looked like Ren from Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. but yeah, so there, and then the whole, there was, you know, like a reveal and that happened, you know, towards the end as well, that was very interesting. And when that was revealed, it, you know, was like, what the hell is that? You know? So, it goes in directions you're not expecting, but it's pretty well done, you know, overall. I really enjoyed it. So
Catherine, what do you think?
Yes, I also really enjoyed this one. I thought this one was, it's probably tied for number one with another one of these that we watched. Yeah, just echoing everything you guys were saying. It's everything you want from a good gory horror movie. It's very Texas Chainsaw Massacre-ish. It's got I wrote down, mm-hmm. It's like a twisted Pretty in Pink. The dad reminded me of Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah.
You got the girl, she's getting her prom, getting ready to go to the dance. But it's great. The actors are all fantastic in this. I loved all the characters were great. The very interesting subplot, this B plot line of the guy going with the goth girl to the dance, and they're just in the car getting high and stuff. I guess that's right. A comic relief.
It was a nice break. It was a nice break for what was happening to our boy.
It really doesn't have any impact.
It has nothing to do with anything.
But it's very interesting, and it's a nice little, you catch your breath. Yeah.
It also adds a little flavor to the story in that who, you know, we find out who the girl is connected to, you know, that. But in terms of advancing the plot, it doesn't really. It's just another side. And you kind of keep thinking, what is this going to have to do with everything? And it does have to do with, but it's not in the way you're thinking, I guess. But
the guy was on a great date. He was having a great time, man.
The bears were so happy.
Talk about two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right.
His night compared to his friend's night were just polar opposites.
Very kind of Jeffrey Dahmer-esque in terms of what's going on with the, you know, drilling holes and pouring stuff into holes without revealing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I did enjoy how the beginning of this movie and the end of this movie kind of echo each other. The events that take place that set off the film at the top, and then you kind of get that again at the end there. So that was a nice kind of, you know, rounding it out there. But yeah, this was great. I like you all said, a hidden gem. Really glad you found this one.
Yeah.
I can't get over that none of you mentioned anything about the opening song, Lonesome Loser, Little River Band.
Didn't want to ruin it. If that's
not a spoiler, that just sets the tone. The movie starts up on such a high note with that song.
The soundtrack's great.
Yeah. Yeah, the next song was Idols and Anchors by Parkway Drive. It's another good banger. It's a headbanger, but it's a banger. All the things in this film were tremendous. I absolutely loved it. I have seen the artwork several times, like that cover photo of her with the drill and the little crown on her head. In the pink dress. I've seen that a bunch of times, but I've never heard anything about the film. So it was intriguing when this finally came up as a list of possible matches. I was thrilled to watch it. The relationship between Lola and her dad is so unbelievably disturbing. Even when she gets her prom dress or whatever, the dress for the dance, and just, loved it. And I'd love to get into more of this, but I can't, cause I don't want to ruin it. So
yeah, it's, yeah. And also
these are gonna be all difficult to talk about.
Yeah. You don't have to rent this movie anymore. It's on Pluto TV now.
Oh, great. I may watch this again.
It's a great movie, Joe.
Okay, enough said. We're going to get on to another little gem called Pet from 2016, starring Dominic Monaghan. Mm-hmm. He was Merry in Lord of the Rings. And also Jeanette McCurdy, who was Sam on iCarly, for those of you who had kids around my kid's age. So this is a man bumps into an old crush on the bus. And he ends up holding her captive underneath the animal shelter where he works. And God, that's the synopsis for this. There's so much more than that. Anyway, that's enough to get us started. Catherine, what'd you think?
And this was my other one that I really enjoyed. Another one I'd never heard of this one. Didn't know anything about it. I love Dominic Monaghan. I thought he was great. Like, you just feel so bad for him. He's trying so hard. You know, he's doing all the right things. He finds this girl and, you know, tries to connect with her and, you know, does his research, find out what
he tries so hard.
But he does it in all the wrong ways.
Where have I heard that?
Off as super creepy and, you know, like an off-putting. I got to say, Joe, you've got two movies here with stuff with dogs. And those were both poor doggies. Those always make me sad.
Especially the first one.
Right. for this one, I thought the opening scene with Dominic and the girl on the bus, right? I was like, oh, is this Birdemic? Because he's like, hey, we sat together in high school. And she's like, okay, I don't remember you at all. And oh, can I take you out to lunch?
I'm a model now.
Right? That's right.
This is a much, much darker version of Birdemic.
I sell solar panels.
I'm a model now.
Yeah. I just got what was Victoria's Secret.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the conversation they were having where something about they went to high school together, but then something else they say later in the conversation makes it sound like they never met before or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things like that.
This had a lot of fun twists and turns in it.
I really you think you know where it's going, and then it completely goes off the rails. And just one little thing with the music. There was one scene towards the end. I noticed they had layered dog barks into the music, and I thought that was
a really
cool effect. I like that a lot. But no, this movie was great. I really enjoyed watching this one.
Mark. Did you go already?
No.
Okay, you're up.
So this was the first film I saw. And I was like, this is a masterpiece. This is an absolute gem. You know, it was like 2 years, you know, watching this film. I was riveted with this film. And Catherine, you know, said in the CineScare chat, just going, this, what do you call it? Abducted horror?
Abduction horror. Yeah.
Abduction horror could be my, yeah. I think you might be right. It's either that or Joe just picked three really good fucking films, because each film I absolutely love. So this could be my little niche. This, besides, you know, a slasher, this could be my little thing going on here, because I fucking love, like, the premise of, you know, this abduction. It's like, you know, the psychology and, like, you know, twisting things in their heads and gaslighting, and it's so much fun, you know, and it's like there's nothing they can do. They're either chained or they're, like, in a cage or whatnot. So I don't know. But so this was the first one I saw. I said, this one's freaking amazing. So, but like the fact that anybody could just start stalking anybody, like Facebook, Google, or whatnot, is absolutely insane to me. And I wonder how many times someone has, you know, stalked me, or like stalked your, you know, you guys. Like, you got to wonder about that. It's like technology these days. It's like, I don't know. And by the way, do you guys talk to yourselves, like, when you're alone?
I do.
I have what's called an inner monologue. So I just talk to myself up there.
The inner monologue. Matt, do you talk to yourself?
Yeah, a little bit sometimes.
I talk to myself all the time, but it's usually like, you know, Mark, you fucking idiot, or Mark, you moron, or something like that. It's like, Mark, fucking idiot. But I don't know. I hear it's like a sign of intelligence. But having conversations with yourself or pretending you're on a date, like, by yourself, I mean, that means you're a fucking sociopath. That's just fucking weird.
That was like a John Hughes film part, though. Like, that was Ducky. You know, him trying to psych himself up for the date type thing.
Pretty. That's weird, man. That's a little weird, don't you think?
Not really.
Like, Ducky's weird.
Well, yeah, but I think what he was doing was normal. You know, trying to psych himself up enough to ask this girl out on a date who he's been obsessing over.
No, man. And
he's pretending the lines.
Yeah. He wants to, because if he goes over the conversation in his head enough times, it'll he'll sound more relaxed and rehearsed, because he already knows what the answers to potential questions could be. So he knows how to react.
Yeah.
That's weird, dude. That's weird. But I mean, what a fun twist. I love how kind of like the captive turns the tables on the captor. I love how you get in the mind of serial killers who explain, you know, what they're thinking of. The character says, I think when I kill someone, I think of what if she has a pet, like the poor little dog sitting by the door waiting for her to come home. But all that goes away. The more you think about it, the more parts you remember the things you like. And that's like a warm blanket, you know, like I'm just covering. I mean, I just love like when the serial killer starts really explaining like what they're thinking and how, you know, how their brain works. Like they put a little jigsaw and putting the puzzles in. I think it's wonderful. But I mean, it's my third favorite out of the bunch. And but when I first saw it, I said, this is it. This one's amazing. It's like, Joe, you killed it. So I loved it.
Okay,
watch it.
Matt, you've seen this one before, right?
Yeah, I saw, Michelle and I watched this on our honeymoon one morning. We were on our honeymoon
horror-themed honeymoon. Yeah.
And we were looking for something scary to watch, and so we watched this. I didn't really care for it that much the first time I saw it, and I'm kind of, it's definitely my second favorite of these three, but it's fine. I think the thing that makes it is the ending, though, which we can't really talk about. But I do feel like the ending makes the movie. There's a lot of really bad dialogue in this. I feel like I don't always believe Dominic Monaghan, especially his accent just seems very, I don't know, stereotypical New Yorker kind of thing. I think what's her name? Ksenia Solo or Ksenia Solo, I guess is her name. I think she's really good in it. Yeah, the dog. Joe, you did have two dog movies in this one.
Yeah, dogs was not on purpose. Yeah,
I mean, in this one, it's a little different than you know that
the first one
was a little, yeah. It was rough, but. You know, it's one of those, it's another single location thing mostly. And so in that, I think the dialogue really has to be great and it's not. And so there are patches of this that I kind of started losing interest. But, you know, it didn't help that I'd already seen it before. But I think I liked it better this time than I did the first time I saw it. And I do. Again, I think that the last act of this makes the movie, and I have a feeling it wouldn't surprise me if the guy wrote it had this idea, you know, for his last act and built the movie around that. The first act was fine, but I feel like in the second act things get a little saggy a little bit. Like it felt like it's kind of filling a little bit of time to get to where they want to go. But once it gets into that third act, I think it's well worth it. So not my favorite of the three, but that's really because the first one was so strong. So
with all of these, I really, as I kept watching more movies, my notes were fewer and fewer. I was too busy watching the movie and being enthralled. Although my first note in this movie is, oops, another dead dog movie. This movie like just kept building on itself for my reactions. I would catch something that was slightly off and I'm like, hey, and I'd write a note about it. Like that seemed really weird. Why did this happen? And then all of a sudden, like 5 minutes later, it would negate itself. And I'd be like, oh, plot twist. And then something else would happen. It just kept going over and over and over again. I'm walking down one hallway and then all of a sudden I'm making a left-hand turn and then a right. And I was lost. But it was, I love the fact that it kept throwing all these red herrings and making you guess left and right throughout this film. The plot twists were tremendous. Something I had never thought of before. Like I didn't see this one coming at all. But I really just like the fact that Jeanette McCurdy was in this one, but, all right. I can't really say anything else. All of my notes only make sense if you were spoiling it, which we're not. So we're going to move on to the last one, which is Chained from 2013, directed by Jennifer Lynch, starring Vincent D'Onofrio. This is about a young man who's held prisoner by the cab driving serial killer that abducted him and his mother and ends up raising this kid pretty much to be his own and follow in his footsteps. So Catherine,
the first one I watched and I was like, ooh, this is going to be a rough set of movies to get through.
This
one's super dark and just, this one was rough. I do think it was very interesting. It struck me as having a very kind of late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic, just in terms of even from the font of credits at the beginning. Yes. I was like, oh, this is kind of dated for a movie that came out in 2012, I think. And just the overall feel of it felt older than it was. I mean, Vincent D'Onofrio is great. I mean, he's so good at playing these very intense characters. He does a great job in this one. just, yeah, I don't know. All my notes are like, wow, this is depressing. Wow, this is super dark. Wow. Yeah. Even the twist at the end of this one too, you're just like, oh man, like, like this poor kid, just everything that can go wrong went wrong for him. And man, this one's a rough one to get through. That's basically all I have on this one.
All right, Matt, what'd you think?
I didn't like this one at all. I thought Vincent D'Onofrio was terrible in this movie. This is the worst Vincent D'Onofrio performance I've ever seen. What did I write here? It's like Vincent D'Onofrio is doing an imitation of Vincent D'Onofrio for Vincent D'Onofrio's acting class when he's 20. It's bleak and boring, and I don't like. There's nothing to it to grab onto for me. You look at what was the one with the family, or what was the first the one we ones. Talked about? The loved ones. That one had, you know, it was the exact issue I had with, or the thing that I said was so great about that was that it wasn't just about the overbearing, you know, torture porn. There were other things going on. Obviously, there are two different tones to these movies, but I thought that this one just was trying desperately to be bleak. And it became boring for me after a while. I really found myself kind of zoning out on this one. Let's see. I thought that, toward the last act, there's some things that happened I thought was not bad. It was just a real slog to get there. And it started out, the first couple notes I had, first immediately I said Vincent D'Onofrio has a really annoying accent in this. I'm not sure what he's trying to do.
I couldn't picture where that accent was supposed to be from.
From him, I think, looking in the mirror and practicing his lines and saying, this sounds like a really good accent to have. I hated him in this movie, and not the character. I thought his performance was terrible. And then I wrote, yeah, man, this is intense and really brutal. I was there for it at the beginning, but after a while I was like, it's okay. Now it's getting a little repetitive. Okay. We got the idea, and it just keeps going and it keeps going. And I don't think this was that long of a movie. I think it was only like 90 minutes, but it felt like 2.5 hours. Let's see. Yeah. I said after at a certain point, this movie becomes incredibly boring. I felt like the pacing was off. There were scenes that just felt like there's no urgency going on in this movie. It's just the pacing. It's just this long slog of bleakness without really much quality to it. And then I said, if this all turns into some sort of dream or more multiple personality situation, I'm going to shit out my window. I don't know how I would have done that, but I was going to be so angry that it had put me through that. But fortunately, that's not. I can tell you, dear listeners, that that does not happen in this movie, thankfully. So, yeah, this one I didn't care for. But it looks like the way that Mark is in a conniption fit, he absolutely loved this one. And this must have been the first movie you watched, because he was probably, that's the one he meant as being a gem.
Yeah, let's have Mark go before his head explodes.
Right. So this is the second film that I saw. The first one was Pet. The second one was Chained. And I said, oh, this has to be the movie that everyone's talking about, because this movie is an absolute masterpiece, except I think the end. I'm not happy with the ending. I think it's a little bit too forced and it goes a little bit too crazy, and it's not explained very well. It just, everything happens at the end too quickly, and it's just not explained well enough, I think. And it's not, it just, they don't give the ending enough time for what happened at the end. This film is not a bore, listeners. This film is not a bore at all, in my opinion. I think that this film is perfectly shot in the way it has been. And because we're talking about this 9-year-old boy that has been abducted, and we go 9, 10 years, and it does pretty much go 10 years later, and you see, this is all about manipulation, gaslighting, torturing, just what this kid has gone through. And yeah, it's going to drain you. It's going to take some life out of you, but it's not, it's not boring at all. I think that there's like a montage of like what the boy's name, he's renamed Rabbit. He doesn't even get his real name anymore. He's named Rabbit. And what Rabbit has to do all through these years, I mean, you see how drained this kid is, who after 10 years later, I mean, he looks like a vampire, like this white vampire skeleton of a young man, and his soul is just completely sucked out of him and what he does. And then there's a shackle, and I will say, this isn't a spoiler, but Vincent's character Bob, he just basically presses a button and the shackle opens, and you're going, well, why didn't Rabbit just, you know, try to take the shackle off and get away? That's because he's brainwashed. His brain is dead. It is turned off. He is a slave. And that's what's just so like amazing about this film. I love everything about this film. I think it's very disturbing, especially the very beginning when Rabbit and his mom are abducted, and when they're in the garage and you see Julia Ormond's face and she's going, cover your ears, and her getting dragged into that house from the garage and the last look she gives, and then there's silence, and then you hear the screams, and it is terrifying. It is horrifying. It really moved me at the beginning, and I was hooked. I was hooked from there, and I thought it was beautifully shot. Just with the cab ride with the older Rabbit and Bob in the car, I thought there was a nice little twist, and you know, with the reflection. I was like, oh gosh. And then the person sees a reflection and like how this goes. I thought the ending was very satisfying before the very ending of the ending when Rabbit confronts somebody. I think that just is not explained well enough, and I thought it wasn't done well enough. But otherwise, this is my second favorite, and I think it's damn near close to I give it 4.5 cuts. If that ending
it's
wasn't
like Tokyo Gore, please.
Yeah, kind of. I swear.
Did you have COVID this week?
I did not have COVID. I don't know, Matt, what you were watching or what you were eating. Or
I don't know what you were watching.
I watched it twice. I was like, I stopped. I stopped 26 minutes before this movie ended because it was like late at night, and I was like, I got to go to bed. I really need, because I was taking it in, and I was like, I really need Shannon to watch this. The next day, I had Shannon watch it with me. Like, we're watching this, and I wanted her to watch it, and she agreed all the way until the end. She's going, the ending just does not make sense with the reveal of confronting somebody. She's going, if that was polished off better, then she would have just thought this was just an amazing film. But it is definitely worth watching. Respect Matt's decision, but please right now respect mine and give it a shot, because I really think it's well worth watching.
Okay. I saw this film for the first time, I think about 2.5 years ago. And ever since I saw it, this was the reason that I kept trying to find ways to make this a theme just so I could rewatch this movie. I really liked it because of all that.
Thank you, Jeff.
At least there's no dead dog in this one. Right. The movie, for the most part, almost seems like it's
I was
like
hoping for one.
Yeah. Would have been my trifecta. It almost seems like it could have been done as a stage play. It would have been a horrific, bleak stage play, but
it's
just the single location stuff. But I thought I will completely agree. Vincent D'Onofrio's accent throws me off. I didn't get that. I don't know why he made that choice, but he did. And looking past that, I think the kid that played Rabbit as a young kid and the one who played him as older were both exceptional in this film.
Yes.
And to skirt something kind of like how Mark did, when he has that confrontation and we learn about that, the first time I saw that was fierce, just throwing things at the TV. But what I think is more bleak than that is what happens after, how he decides to go on with his life, or more to the point, where he's living it at. That to me is just this movie shouldn't be called Chained. It should just be called Bleak, because that's the best word to describe this whole thing. So, all right, unless anybody has second thoughts, we're going to have
Matt, you have second thoughts on your opinion?
I mean, bleak is a good word for it. So is boring.
Fuck, Joe.
And so is terrible acting. And so is just a big bleh.
Matt.
I didn't care for this one.
Oh. Thanks, Joe, for introducing me to this film.
You're welcome.
It was fucking phenomenal.
Well, Joe, it should make you happy. Mark is very happy with your pick here.
Nothing gets me through the day more.
Yeah, they're happy with all three picks. Three for three, Joe. Three for three. I'm telling you, it was like one after the other. Each one was a gem. And I had no idea what film you guys were talking about. Because I was like, oh, it has to be this film. No, wait, this one's better? No, it's got to be that film. This is what. So I was excited which one. And I swear to God, I thought it was so much fun. This was such a fun pick. This has to be my subgenre. Like, Catherine's got to be correct. I want more. I want more of this. I want more of this captive stuff.
There's a couple more out there we could dive into.
Yeah, there's probably a few.
Yeah. You guys ready for an activity?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it.
So I'm going to go around the horn, and it's going to go Catherine, Matt, Mark every time.
All right.
What I'm going to do is we're starting with February releases because we already missed January. I'm going to name a movie that's coming out, and you tell me on a scale of 1 to 10, just even numbers, no 6.7, nothing like that, just 1 through 10, how excited you are about this film coming out.
Cool. Mm.
Okay?
All right.
So, Catherine, February 2nd, Christoph Waltz. Dracula.
Five.
Matt.
I like Dracula movies, so I'd say a 7.
Mark.
6.
I mean, I haven't seen any previews or anything for it, so I have. You know, that might temper my opinion on that. But just you telling me Christoph Waltz, Dracula, I'd be at a 7 if
he
I
plays
watched the
Van
trailer.
Helsing.
Yeah, that sounds like a good Van Helsing.
Yeah,
who plays Dracula?
We got a lot of these, so we it doesn't
it's
matter.
It's some gorgeous actor.
All right, fine.
We gotta rapid fire these things.
Okay,
Catherine on the 2nd as well. Whistle.
I don't know what that is, so I'll say 5 again.
It's the Mexican death whistle.
I haven't heard of that.
Movie? No.
I haven't heard of that.
Matt? No? Mark?
No.
I haven't heard of it.
Oh, okay. It's about a 3 for me. Next one in February, The Strangers.
Catherine. Was that the third?
Strangers 3, sorry. Oh, yeah.
1.
Yeah. Matt?
0. 0. Mark?
0.
It's like a 1 for me, yeah. Catherine, Psycho Killer.
I just saw a preview for that. I'm going to say 8.
Matt?
Who's in this one?
I don't remember.
I don't know who's in that.
I'll say 5 because I have no idea what this is. I'm.
That's one I think I've been actually like quite a bit.
I'm so out of the loop right now because my whole life is doing this research project for my master's. So I can barely squeeze in the movies we have. And so I really haven't been keeping up as much.
I'm at a 7, Joe.
Okay.
What's it called again?
Psycho Killer.
Psycho Killer. Malcolm McDowell is actually in this. That's he's not the lead or anything, but it's just he's a name. I'm about an 8 as well. Catherine, Scream 7.
6.
Matt?
I'd say 6, yeah.
Mark?
I'm at a 9.
Ooh, I'm at a 4. I say Let It Die. all right, we're on to March. Catherine, The Bride.
8.
Matt?
I would say 7.
Mark?
9.
I'm going to say 5 only because I saw there's a dance number in it, and I'm thinking it's going to be like the Joker.
I think it's going to be Catherine, much more than that.
They Will Kill You. It's with Zazie Beetz, Patricia Arquette, Heather Graham.
Do
5.
She's like a cleaning lady that gets caught in a house and they're all trying to kill her.
Do 5.
5. Matt?
I'm going to give it a, I'm going to give it 5.
Mark?
I'm going to give it a 5 because I saw the trailer and the trailer gives away everything, the whole entire movie.
Yeah, that's why I'm giving it a 4. Okay, we're on to April. Catherine, Lee Cronin's The Mummy.
I'm intrigued.
Director of Evil Dead Rise.
I'll say 6.
Matt?
I'll give it a 7.
Mark?
I'm on a 7 with that.
I'm at an 8 because it's Lee Cronin. we're into May. Obsession.
Only because of Evil Dead Rise.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Hey, yeah. he's batting 1,000 so far. So, Catherine, Obsession. This is the Curry Barker short. Or he did the short, The Chair, that we watched.
Oh.
Same director.
Oh, let's say 7 then.
Okay, Matt?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give it a 7 or an 8, somewhere 7.5 maybe, because I'd like to see what he gets up to with a feature length, you know.
Mark?
4.
Okay, I'm optimistic. I'm rooting for the kid too. I'm going to give him a 7. All right, this one's not horror, but I'm just feeling everybody out. In June, Disclosure Day, Steven Spielberg's film.
Ooh. I'm going to say an 8.
Matt?
Yeah, I'm going to say a 9. I get excited for Steven Spielberg movies, so I'll give it a 9.
Mark?
I think this is going to be Spielberg's comeback. He's going to really blow our socks off. I'm at an 8, 8.5. Yeah, I really think this is going to be his comeback.
I'm about at the same. Another non-horror film, but in July, we've got a little well-known movie director called Christopher Nolan doing The Odyssey. Catherine?
9.
Matt?
9.
Mark?
10. It's my number one. I'm ready for it. Give it to me. This is what I want.
Matt Damon, Tom Holland, Anne Hathaway, Robert Pattinson,
John Bernthal,
Zendaya, Charlize Theron, John Bernthal.
Yeah.
God, this better be
this film.
This better be a fucking 3.5 hour film, and I want an intermission. I want a 15-minute intermission, just like Brutalist did. I want a 15-minute intermission. I want Christopher Nolan to just let it go. Just give it to me. I can't wait for this. I love the story. How do you not?
I think I'm going to wait till I can watch it on my phone. All right, last one in July. Catherine, Evil Dead Burn.
Ooh, let's do a 7.
Matt?
I'll say an 8.
Mark?
9.
You're all wrong. It's an 11. we're going into August. Thread, an Insidious Tale.
No, thank you.
It's not your turn.
Say 6.
Matt?
I'll go 5.
Mark?
Yep. 1.
Yeah, I'm with Mark on that one. Okay, in September, this is classified as horror, but Clayface. The DC Comics movie, Clayface.
I'll say 3. I don't know anything about that.
What the fuck, Catherine?
Matt?
I'll give it a 5. I really don't care for her superhero movies, but
I'm at an 8 right now. If it's anything like Penguin, give it to me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm at about a 4 only because it's DC.
Oh, fuck. Did you guys watch Penguin?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
Saw all the Batman films.
Yeah, the TV show. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Okay, last one in September. Zach Cregger's Resident Evil. So you got Zach Cregger way up here. And then you've got, but it's a video game franchise movie that are all terrible down here.
I'll go 5.
Okay, Matt.
I'll go 7 for Zach Cregger. And I always hope, I'm hopeful of that series. So far, they really haven't made a good one. But, you know, I remember playing Resident Evil on your floor in that brownstone in Chicago, the original PlayStation. And what a blast that was. And then playing Resident Evil 2 and getting scared to death, looking over like a banister on a staircase and having some creature jump out at me. It was like the biggest jump scares of all time. So I'm always hopeful that they'll do it right. Hopefully he does it right.
Mark?
I'm around a 6 for that. I'm with Matt. I just wish they do it right for once. Just once. Just once.
I'm at about an 8 because I know that Resident Evil Requiem, the most recent game in the series, comes out next or the end of this month, actually. So I'm hoping that'll build some hype towards it. More people go see it. In October, I only found one horror movie that, or at least as of right now, that's coming out with Jessica Chastain called Other Mommy. Catherine?
Huh. I don't know anything about this one. Let's say a 6.
Matt?
Yeah, I know nothing about this either, and I'm looking it up on IMDb. There isn't even a poster for it, but it is directed by Rob Savage, who directed, what did he direct? Host and The Boogeyman. So I'll give it a 7. Yeah, those were pretty good movies.
Mark?
I'll give it a 6.
Yeah, I'm about a 5. I couldn't find anything in November, so we're wrapping up the year with Violent Night 2. David Harbour.
The sequel nobody asked for. The first one was fun. Yeah. I'll give it a 6.
Matt?
I'll give it a 3.
Mark?
That's one I don't even know if I'll watch.
I'll give it a 3, too. I don't even think I'll watch it.
I'm a 3 with that one, too.
What about Crystal Lake?
These are movies.
Those are
TV shows.
Sorry, Joe.
I only have 3 left. Avengers Doomsday. Catherine.
I'm so tired of superhero movies. I'll do a 4.
Matt.
I'll do a 1.
Mark.
10.
Only because it's Marvel.
10.
All right, I'm at a 12. Catherine, Dune Part 3.
I haven't seen the other two, so I'm going to say 1.
What?
Matt, wow. Did you just
beat what? Catherine. Scandalous.
I'll do a 6.
Mark?
Fucking 10?
I'm at about a 7. So, yeah, all right, last
6 or 7.
One.
6, 7.
What the fuck? Ugh. Catherine.
Okay, last one of the year on December 25th, directed by Robert Eggers, starring Aaron Taylor Johnson, Lily Rose Depp, and Willem Dafoe. Werewolf. Catherine.
Nosferatu was enjoyable. And I mean, I don't know. God, it just feels like kind of a rehash of that. I don't do a 5.
Matt?
Mine goes to 11 on this one.
Mark?
I'm at a fucking 11. I can't. Werewolf, right?
Yeah. Robert Eggers, Werewolf, come on.
Give it to me. Put me
in the seat right now.
Yes.
I refuse
to see. I know what Joe's is going to be.
That's the end of it. Yep.
See it, Joe?
Yeah. No. That's going to be a complete waste of money.
It's gonna be it's gonna be so amazing. It's gonna be amazing. I can't wait.
Probably gonna be in black and white too.
I hope Joe, so.
Just so you know, leading up to that movie, my pick is going to be Werewolf Horror.
I was gonna be out sick that week.
Good. I'm gonna have COVID.
Yeah, Joe will be like, start licking
doorknobs.
I mean, if somebody wants to be on
the
show,
but I'm too
then,
busy watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
God damn it, Joe.
Oh, yeah. All right. So that's what we have to look forward to in 2026.
Well, what do we have to look forward to with Catherine's picks?
All right. So my pick for next week, because we are recording on and around and the episode comes out on and around my birthday, I thought I would do birthday horror. I'm calling it It's My Birthday and I'll Die If I Want To.
Nice. There we go. There we go, Catherine. Wow. Back on the titles. Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, please, please pick the one I want you to do. Please.
I had an original list, but all of them were rentals. And I was like, oh, I feel bad doing that. So my second tier choices. I've got Happy Death Day from 2017, which is a rental. Although, if you have YouTube TV, it's available on demand. The next one I have is called Happy Birthday from 2016. This is on Prime. This looks like an absolute shit show, but hopefully it's fun at the same time. And then the third one I've got is called Sweet 16 from 1983, which is also on Prime.
What is wrong with you, Mark?
I wanted her to pick Happy Birthday to Me.
I had that, but it was a rental.
Well, it could be a rental. You can pick a rental.
I already have a rental.
I mean, are any of these rentals?
Happy Death Day is a rental from 2017.
Okay.
Sorry, Mark. Well, that was in my original list.
Hey, we can revisit it someday.
That's true. Like, wait another month. It'll probably be streaming again.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind renting two movies. It doesn't matter to me if, you know. But.
The reason why, Catherine, is because Happy Birthday to Me was my very first horror movie of all time. Oh, yes.
That sounds like a good idea when it's around your birthday, Mark.
I could do that. I can do that.
Instead of trying to Bogart all over Catherine's.
I'm not Bogarting. Wait, what does Bogart mean?
We'll talk about it there.
Yeah. You could do that. You could make your own episode centered around all things that remind you of you.
I could do that.
Yeah. It's all about Mark. Happy birthday to me. Yeah. All about Mark.
Yeah.
Chained to, you know, maybe.
It's like the opposite of Miss the Mark.
Chained to Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great movie.
The Cell.
Starring Vincent D'Onofrio.
Poltergeist 2.
Oh, yeah.
There's another one. Golly, you guys.
Fat Man.
Fat Man.
Fuck me.
All right. Worse. Well, those are your movies. So.
Like them or not.
Go ahead. Huh?
No, I like them.
Like them or not, Mark.
I know. I don't like Catherine's picks. I just wish Happy Birthday to Me was one of them. That's all. I can't have everything.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So I guess that's it for this time. So go to www.centerscarehorror.com and buy Joe's merchandise. Check out our stuff. I'm not going to talk about that this time, maybe next time. But we have something special lined up for October. We'll talk about it. Yeah, once things get a little more solidified, we will hopefully by next time make an announcement. So, all right. I guess that's it.
Good night.
So we'll see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Got a death curse!
shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
He looks like a vampire, like this white vampire skeleton of a young man, one of the greatest good-looking men in Hollywood industry, in my opinion.